Welcome back to Local Matters on KTLO. This is Heather Loftus. Joining me now is a good friend of KTLO's, and I better not mess this up because I know his wife is an avid KTLO listener, Mr. Steve Wilson. How are you?
Good. I am good.
Fun fact, if you Google Steve Wilson of Norfolk, Arkansas, you get several Steve Wilsons that are former Arkansas Game and Fish employees. I had to really do some research on you.
It was crazy. Other at one time, we had four Steve Wilsons working in the agency.
Well, this is Steve N. Wilson.
Exactly.
Am I correct? There
you go.
My proven research is safe. Steve Wilson served with Arkansas Game and Fish Commission as director for 20 years and retired to the great land of Norfolk. Just how many years ago did you and Joe retire here?
Well, we came up here in 2003. Mm-hmm. In fact, we came in 2002 in the spring, and we lived in our tents on the White River while we built our barn, and then we moved into the barn. That was a big day when we got to move in.
Did you build a barn dominion like it's so popular now? Tell us about your career at Arkansas Game and Fish.
Well, it was a great time. I used to tell people that it was as if a wild bull came running by and I jumped on it to see if I could ride it, you know, and that's about what it was at that time. But I was the youngest director in the nation at the time I was hired. I was 35 years old. And didn't know, come here from Sikkim, as Dale Bumpers used to say. Really, I didn't know anything about politics.
Game of Fish is not political, right?
All right. I quickly got a PhD in politics. And, Bill Clinton was governor at the time, although he was subsequently defeated by Frank White just in that first year. And it was a great, great time.
How does Arkansas Game and Fish serve the state of Arkansas?
Well, you know, aside from taking care of all the fish and the wildlife, they take care of a lot of land. They take care of a lot of the things that we don't hunt or fish for, the birds, the reptiles, all the other critters that
make life so interesting.
Yes, exactly.
Find a little bit of everything, depending on where you are in the state. You have a piece of land named after you. Is that correct?
I do. It's a wildlife management area down just east of Searcy, and it's the Holland it's on the White River. It's just south of the big Henry Gray wildlife management area there.
Google, I'm telling you, I got after it before you came in. So. Obviously the recent flooding in this area, we're all a little nervous about what our waterways are going to be like this summer because tourism is, it's debated, but I would say it's probably the number one industry in the state of Arkansas.
I'll bet it is, yeah. I haven't seen data lately that would, you know, convince me, but I'll bet it is. Mm-hmm. And Bob Knight might have been on the Parks and Tourism Commission long enough to know exactly that that's the case. Mm-hmm. But it's a big part of what everybody comes to Arkansas for. It's a big part of what all of us who live here do every year. And
I would say it's a big reason why those of us living here, that's why we live here.
That's exactly right. That's why I moved up here.
Now, where are you from originally?
Batesville.
You got smart and you moved north a little bit.
I spent enough time in Little Rock that I've fished up here, of course, all my life and camped and canoed. And so I knew that this was a likely spot.
Tell us from your experience with Game and Fish and meeting with other directors across the United States, Arkansas has such natural resources that is unbelievable that, I mean, you just don't find anywhere else.
Well, that's exactly right. And because of our diversity, because we have such a really diverse state, it accentuates all those resources and really makes Arkansas a special place. And, you know, most of the my colleagues, when I was working, had really no idea about Arkansas. They had not been here, or they didn't had no relationship with Arkansas, and they were astounded when I would tell them about what all we had.
So now that you're retired, do you think you spend more time fishing or hunting?
Well, no doubt I'd spend more time fishing. Yeah, yeah. I think that is the case with most people, most guys. As they get older, they quit the arduous task of hunting and start fishing more, because it's more relaxing. It's a little easier to do, maybe.
So how are our waterways now?
Well, you know, the pictures of Lake Norfolk that
I've seen.
Have
you ever seen anything like that?
I have never seen anything like it, but I'm sure it's happened in the past. I'm sure.
We just didn't have drones to show us
exactly,
things like that in the past.
Exactly. It's just astounding, all the stuff that's out there. I heard a fellow the other day telling me that if you want a canoe or a kayak, just go out on the lake, and because they're everywhere.
Exactly.
And I don't know if
along
that's
with
the
all
case,
other things that are out there, but
a
of course,
lot of stuff is
big
out
lake cleanup projects, you know, already happened, and I'm sure, you know, we'll all be pitching in to do that again as the summer goes on. How is it that the lake is able to clean itself? Like, we would see, you know, right immediately following the flooding, you know, that Sunday afternoon, you saw these pictures emerge with the debris. I mean, just tons and tons of debris, yet it would be gone the next day. How is the lake able to do that?
Well, you know where it goes, the bottom of the lake. Mm-hmm. And so it's really not gotten rid of it. It's just
sunk,
submerged. And, you know, if it's a deep lake, and we're lucky that our lakes are deep, and they just, all that stuff goes to the bottom. Mm-hmm. And there's a likelihood that some of it that's in the shallower areas mm-hmm. will emerge as mm-hmm. the lake goes down this summer, which will be an eyesore, you know.
Scary for boaters, too, because if you're not, I mean, we used to always say, well, at least we know the lake, and we know that what trees stick out when the water gets low or high, or, you know, we kind of know our way around, but it's almost going to be a new lake to all of us this summer.
It may be, exactly.
So, and the water quality will right itself as well.
I think so. There's with all that woody debris mm-hmm. that comes in, there's mm-hmm. a great demand for oxygen as that's decaying. But I think the lake has enough volume that won't be a real problem for mm-hmm. the fish, the aquatic life.
What are some of the best things that we can do to protect our lakes? I mean, we know about the algae on the bottom of boats and how you're supposed to rinse your boats off. It's in Bull Shoals, but it's not in Norfolk yet. Is that correct? Or do I have that?
That's right. But I think I'm always of the opinion that if we take care of our watershed, if we don't clear down to the stream bank, if we don't clear all the woods and the watershed, mm-hmm. then and if we don't mm-hmm. put point source pollution events directly in the watershed, then nature will take care of it. It'll take care of itself pretty much.
I heard someone say that, because I was asking, I was like, where did all that debris come from? You know, where was all that? And they said a lot of it was from the ice storm, that so much of that timber had fallen, you know, in the hills, and then it all just kind of washed down because the rain came down so fast that it just cleared all that into the water. I don't know if that's true or not.
That makes sense. I mean, intuitive.
So let's take a break. You're listening to Local Matters on KTLO. Welcome back to Local Matters on KTLO. We're visiting with retired Arkansas Game and Fish Director Steve Wilson of Norfolk. In part of Steve's career at Arkansas Game and Fish, he was part of the group that was able to pass a 1/8 cent sales tax as a constitutional amendment by the people of Arkansas in 1996 to support conservation work through Game and Fish. Arkansas is one of only two states with a conservation sales tax. So break that down into real talking points for me. What does that mean for us?
The other state is Missouri, by the way, and we unashamedly copied exactly what Missouri did. They had done it 10 years earlier than we did. Mm-hmm. We first started trying to get the eighth of a penny on the ballot for the people to vote on in 1982, and actually had it on the ballot in 1983, and we got beat 52-45 mm-hmm. or something like that. Anyway, we kept after it, and 13 years later, we were able to pass it. But it was a long, mm-hmm. arduous struggle to pass it. But the idea is that people all over Arkansas benefit from the Game and Fish Commission's efforts and whatever they mm-hmm. do, socially and economically mm-hmm. and spiritually and whatever. And so my theory was everybody ought to pay a part of the tab mm-hmm. for operating the Game and Fish Commission. And that's kind of the basis for the mm-hmm. eighth of a penny sales tax. Arkansas Game and Fish Commission, before the sales tax, had mm-hmm. to rely solely on license fees, hunting and fishing licenses, and miscellaneous other mm-hmm. permits and dog tags mm-hmm. and this and that. And because the Constitution that was amended in 1945 that established the Game and Fish Commission prohibited the use of general revenue mm-hmm. taxes for operation of the mm-hmm. Game and Fish Commission. So we were living solely on hunting and fishing, which meant that it was just the hunters and fishermen that paid the bill. And so Missouri came up with this idea, and I mm-hmm. endorsed it wholeheartedly that everybody ought to be paying a mm-hmm. little bit. And the eighth of a percent is a little bit. I mean, it's just mm-hmm. almost, it's the pack a pack of cigarettes every 6 months or something mm-hmm. like that. Anyway, since its passage in 1996, it's generated for Game and Fish. We share it with Parks and Tourism. Mm-hmm. 45% to Game and Fish, 45% to Parks and Tourism, 10% to the Department of Heritage. But just the Game and Fish part of it has generated over $500 million since 1996 when it passed. So it's been a very significant mm-hmm. addition to the revenue that the Game and Fish operates on.
So what would a Game and Fish officer do here locally? I mean, day to day, what are some of the responsibilities?
They are responsible for a whole raft of things. They during my tenure, they were given full police powers by mm-hmm. the legislature, which means they really are in on everything from drownings to chases of bad guy chases to, you know, a little bit of everything. But what they really primarily do is patrol either the lakes or the streams or the woods and enforce the Game and Fish regulations. Mm-hmm.
Is it Game and Fish checking what motor you're using on the Buffalo River?
Well, they do. They do.
So the Buffalo River being one of the absolute gems of the state of Arkansas.
Well, it is. It certainly is. And in another life, another effort, I helped get that passed.
Mm-hmm. Has the flooding, I heard someone say that the flooding almost created a new river for us in certain spots along the White, because landmarks that you were accustomed to, you know, go up here, you know, on the gravel bar or turn, you know, stop by the tree that sticks out, you know, those things aren't there anymore. So
right.
That, too, is going to kind of be a unique experience for
it
us.
It will
this
be. And I think it's probably even more stark on the Buffalo River.
Mm-hmm.
It could be. And I was amazed at this last flood that Crooked Creek actually carried more cubic feet per second mm-hmm. than the Buffalo did. Mm-hmm. It was running at 100,000 cubic feet per second, which was astounding. Maybe the highest mm-hmm. it's ever been. I don't know.
How does that affect the fishing?
Well, it can make it better, actually. It can provide so much food. The fish aren't affected by the flooding, and they just hunker down on the bottom. And
the current's not too swift for them or anything?
The current goes over them for the most part. But they are provided with this abundance of food, and there's a period of time, like we're still recovering in the mm-hmm. White River, that they're not harassed by the fishermen. You know, they're not jerked out of the water. But so they do pretty well. Mm-hmm. They do pretty good in the flood
How important is the fish hatchery to our local area?
Well, it's of paramount importance, too, because we have a put-and-take trout fishery that's valued at, I don't know, somewhere north of $200 million a year for Arkansas. It's put-and-take, which means they have to raise the trout in the hatchery and then stock them. We're, I think, beyond having any natural reproduction. The fish just aren't, I mean, the brown trout do to some
supply
extent.
Supply and demand.
Yeah. But the rainbows just won't resupply themselves naturally. So the hatcheries are paramount importance to keep this industry going, to keep this $200 million industry going. And it's I can't tell you how many meetings I've been to on saving the Norfolk and other trout hatcheries around.
Well, because every time budget cuts are brought up, it seems like the Norfolk Fish Hatchery is always on the list.
Well, and there's a school of thought among fisheries guys, scientists, that we really don't want these hatchery-raised fish polluting the wild stocks of fish. Well, that's not the case in the White River and the Norfolk River and Arkansas. You know, that could be the case out west, but it's not the case in Arkansas. And that so that doesn't hold any water here.
So you can't paint it with a broad stroke. I mean, you need to take it state by state.
Exactly.
So, which I think, you know, everybody's in agreement on. I mean, we want to protect what we have in our own state.
But, they're easy targets. The hatcheries are easy targets because I think the last report I saw on Norfolk Hatchery was it generates $100 for every dollar invested that the hatchery invests. And
that's a pretty good return. Even I can do that math.
That is a great return.
When it comes to our waterways, you know, we talked earlier about the lake, but the rivers in particular, do you think we're taking the environmental precautions necessary to protect these rivers and these waterways for the generations to come?
Well, I do for the most part, but then you have something rear up like the hog farm on the Buffalo that kind of slipped through the cracks and you know, it's there now. Except for those few exceptions, I think we are doing. I think we strived for 20, 30 years up until now and to put in place those kinds of safeguards and those regulations and protections that we needed.
What's next for that hog farm? I mean, what do we do?
I don't know. I just don't know what. I'm not close enough to it on a daily basis to know what might be in the works or what. I mean, it's a tragedy that it got through the system.
Are we able to put a value on hunting and fishing in the state of Arkansas?
Well, we have in the past since 1955, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and the states, all the 50 states, have been contributing toward a survey that we contract with the U.S. Bureau of the Census to do, and they survey hunters and fishermen and households across America, and they come up with a value, and it's astounding. It's like 1% of the gross domestic product. It's huge.
Any numbers specific to our area?
Well, we have contracted Arkansas Game Fish Commission contracted with the University of Arkansas 20 years ago, I guess. To put a value on just trout fishing in Arkansas. And that's been, every time we've done the study, over $200 million a year.
Annually, yeah.
Yeah, for just trout fishing. And if you add, I mean, you know, trout fishing's only done in a few areas and tailwaters and the Little Red River and Norfolk and White River and a few others, but just imagine the 99% mm-hmm. of the rest of the state is warm water fisheries, mm-hmm. and that's huge. In fact, fishing amounted to almost $500 million in 2011.
Wow.
They do this survey every 5 years, and the 2016 data hadn't been published yet. So 2011 is the last information I could find. And fishing was right at $500 million per year, and hunting was a little over $1 million per year.
That's crazy.
And that's crazy. I mean, those are just crazy numbers. In the United States, there were 90 million people who participated in some form of hunting, fishing, or related outdoor recreation, and they spent $145 billion.
Oh, my God. That's real money.
$145 billion. That's what was the 1% of the gross domestic product. I mean, that, of those, 71 million people watched wildlife in one way or another, either out the bird feeder in the backyard, or going someplace to look at waterfowl, or some form of watching wildlife amounted to that many people and that much money. It's just astounding. And that's really what kind of led us into the idea of going for the eighth of penny sales tax.
Conservation. Absolutely.
That helped us convince the people that it was a great investment.
Well, I know that we're very loyal to our waterways here in the Ozark Mountains. I mean, our White River, our Buffalo River. You love Crooked Creek and the North Fork and all these places. But in other parts of the state of Arkansas, are there other fisheries that or waterways that maybe we should think about visiting sometime?
Well, I mean, the real gem in the southeastern part of the state is either the Cache River National Wildlife Refuge or the White River National Wildlife Refuge. And there's a series of Oxbow Lakes on both of those that are just fascinating. They're not like anything we have around here, of course. They're cypress-lined oxbow lakes, and they're true wilderness. I mean, they're just really wild places. And if you can stand the bugs, you know, if you can get past the mosquitoes, and they're fascinating places. And they're great to visit in the wintertime.
And things to fish for there? I mean, the most popular fish?
Oh, crappie, bass, those kind of warm water fisheries, yeah.
I'm not sure there's enough bug repellent in the world to get me in some of those places in southern Arkansas. All right, so tell us, what's the bait that's most popular right now? What do you catch most of your fish with?
I catch most of my fish, my trout, on a little green jig, a little lead-headed marabou jig that's either, and depending on the water level, how much it weighs, but an eighth ounce marabou jig, and or a little, if I'm fly fishing, a little zebra midge.
What's your favorite place to fly fish? Right outside your back door?
Actually, no, the Norfolk River is my favorite place to fly fish. Yeah.
Well, we are so thankful that you and Joe decided to make our area your home in retirement, and we look forward to many more years talking about game and fish with you.
Well, we're absolutely delighted to be part of this community.
Steve Wilson, retired director of the Arkansas Game and Fish, now local product here in Mountain Home. You've been listening to Local Matters on KTLO.